Join us and Neighborhood Cats for all you need to know about trap, neuter, return, TNR, and colony management. You'll learn the basics and walk away with the tools you need to be successful in helping outdoor cats. Workshops are typically held the first Saturday of the month. Registrants will have the opportunity to earn a certificate. For more information and to register today, go to communitycatspodcast.com.
You've tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Cheryl Richardson. Cheryl is the author of several books and audio programs, including How to Survive the Loss of a Pet. As a passionate advocate for the earth and wildlife, she's also the proud caretaker of two rescued cats named Birdie and Wednesday. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Stacey. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yes, this is wonderful. Cheryl and I, we've gone back many, many years, but for our audience, can you tell us, how did you become passionate about cats?
I have always been passionate about animals in general, and I would say in particular, cats. When I went to my very first kitten shower, which I had never heard of, I saw a big sign out front of the Merrimack Feline Rescue. I saw a big sign and it said kitten shower. And I thought, what the heck is a kitten shower? And did a little research and then went home. I had been talking about wanting to adopt a cat. And my husband was not a cat person. He'd just never grown up with cats. So he didn't know what to make of them. And I convinced him to go to the kitten shower with me. We brought a bag of, you know, goodies for the kittens, and into a room we walked with 25 of the most adorable little beings. And I'm there with my reluctant husband, who's just not sure. He's like kind of humoring me. But this little cat was taken, had just been delivered that morning. Someone had dropped the cat off. And they took him out of his little crate and he sat down on the floor and I picked him up and I walked over to Michael and I said, oh my gosh, look at this little baby. It was a little gray cat. And I gave it to him and he held this little cat like it was a piece of china, put it on his chest. And the little cat with its bright blue eyes, it was a tiny baby, looked up at him and that was it. I could tell. And he looked at me and he said, I think we've found our cat. And that really began our love affair with cats. And we named him Poupon. Michael named him. He was gray. And he said, let's call him Poupon. And the rest is history. We are now forever cat people, proudly so.
So with Poupon, you had an incredible journey. And I've been honored to sort of follow Poupon's journey. You talked about him over the years in your blog post many, many times and hearing stories. And you've put together an audiobook sort of about your journey with him, but also the journey that you had to go through when it was his time to pass away. So it's really an interesting listen. I've been listening to it the last several days, and there are so many things in there that I wish I knew. I've had many cats pass away in my life, and they're very different points in the decision-making process of, you know, how to help a cat come to rest, or whether or not to. There's just so many different emotions and thoughts. But before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about Poupon's personality. There was a bit in there about pizza boxes and, you know, interesting and excitement and the things that Poupon would do in the house. So let's get a little picture of what Poupon the cat was like.
Yes. So I will tell you that. So my husband's a night owl, and he's also one of these people when he's passionate about something, he dives in and wants to learn everything. Well, Poupon, having a cat was a new experience for him. And so Michael was up with Poupon at night and he was training him. Like he saw him as this companion, and he taught him how to sit on command. He taught him how to reach for treats. Poupon learned to open doors, much to our regret. So we literally had childproof locks on our doors because he would travel around the house. There was no place we could go without him showing up if he wanted to be there. He talked a lot and he was I actually think Poupon was feral, Stacey. I don't think I realized it at the time because he was very skittish and he was like my baby and Michael's buddy. And otherwise he was very skittish around people. But when he wanted something, he just was committed to getting it. And so one night we were having dinner with friends around the table. We had ordered pizza, big, large pizza boxes. And then we had all retired to the living room to visit. And we heard a bang and we came out and Poupon had one of the large pizza boxes in his mouth and he was running down the hall from the dining room trying to get at the food. And we all laughed like crazy, but also recognized that, you know, he was a handful in the most beautiful way. And I know that people will understand this. There were so many ways that this little being helped to bring us closer together, to teach us about love, to teach us about unconditional love. I think in a lot of ways, Michael and I had never had children. And so Poupon gave me an opportunity to have a kind of bonding with a being that relies on you that I had never had before, which opened the door to me grieving not having had children. And so in that way, he was a teacher for me. And then, of course, at the end, when he became ill suddenly and we had to make the decision to put him to rest, he was the most profound teacher about love, meaning putting the well-being of another before your own when you have to, and you know, when you're called to. So he was a character, and he's with us all the time. We miss his presence so much. My husband especially will say to me, "I will miss that being for the rest of my life." And you just do, as I'm sure you know.
Right.
They are incredible companions in ways nothing else is. Animals are woven into the fabric of our daily lives. I mean, they see us grieve, they see us love, they see us use the bathroom and go to sleep. And, you know, just there's so many private, intimate things that they're a part of. And so when we lose them, it's really, really hard.
So when Poupon did pass away, was put to rest, you went through a process.
Yes.
And was this process new to you or did you expect it? Were you prepared for it?
We were unprepared. He started acting funny, as cats can sometimes do. And he also, because I think he was feral, we often had a vet come to the house because taking him to a vet was so incredibly stressful that we didn't want to do that to him. And we had a vet come to the house who took blood and we saw that some markers were off. And ultimately, we ended up discovering that he had a tumor near his heart. He had a tumor wrapped around near his heart and was inoperable. And he was around 10 years old. To us, that was young. And we certainly didn't expect to lose him. And so we were told that he could be treated and we could maybe extend his life for 6 to 12 months. But knowing how much he hated going to the vets, and we had a good friend of ours, a caretaker for him when we would travel, who said, "Cheryl, if an animal could sign a do not resuscitate, this cat would sign that." And I never forgot that because she really knew him and I believed that. And so Michael and I spent 2 weeks preparing ourselves, trying to see if we could improve his health. Really, we were preparing ourselves. And I remember one night we were laying on the floor with him in the living room and Michael was, you know, didn't want to let him go. And I certainly didn't want him to suffer. And we both came to the realization that it would not be loving to put him through treatment just so that we could have him for 6 months more or even 12 months more. And that in fact, the most profound act of love, it makes me want to cry every time I think of it, but the most profound act of love was to let him go and to let him go as gently as possible. And so we were fortunate to be able to have a vet come to our home and she was wonderful. Ann Craig, you know who she is, I'm sure. And she helped us to prepare and gave us, you know, plenty of time in a separate room with him to say our goodbyes. And then allowed us to be there, explained everything that was going to happen, allowed us to be there, and then again to spend time with him after he had been put to rest. And then the grieving began, and it was way harder than I ever, I had lost my father the year before, and that was really hard. Hello, little birdie. Yes, I know you feel mommy's pain, and they come running over. It was the hardest loss I had ever experienced, which really surprised me, Stacy. And I feel a little shy saying that. I mean, I loved my father, right? And it was horrible to lose my father. But it was different losing this little being that I had a kind of relationship with, both Michael and I did, that I had never had with another human being. And that's what, after 2.5 years and finally reaching a point of, I reached a point of peace with it long before that, but that's why I wanted to do this program, because I wanted to give people tools that they could use to deal with the unique grieving process that we have when we deal with the loss of animals.
Yeah, you chose to do this in an audio-only format. So this is an audio book. And it's structured very differently than what I would think a standard audiobook would be. You know, you're driving along, you put it on in the car and you listen to the story. It is not that at all. Can you share a little bit about what this audiobook does?
Yeah, I wanted the audiobook. Here's the first thing I want to say. This sounds so simple, but it's so important. If you've lost an animal and you're grieving, I want you to know that you will get through this. Like, I really needed to hear that in the beginning because I was devastated and I didn't think I was going to survive it. The pain was so intense. So you will get through it. And that was the basic premise of this audio program was, let me take your hand and let me walk you through the journey from deciding when to let the animal go, putting the animal to rest, through the process all the way to maybe welcoming a new animal into your life. I wanted it to be as if I were kind of like a grief coach for the person, where I would give them lots of tools to use where they could pick the ones that resonated most for them and stop and start the program as they went along. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, I listened to the first half of the first CD, I stopped it and I did a couple of the exercises and that took me a month. And then I went back and I began listening to it. And some people listened to the whole thing all the way through and then went back to it. I think you'll know once you start listening to it what works for you. But I really wanted you to feel like you have a friend who knows what you're dealing with, who really cares about the pain that you're dealing with, and knows that you can get through this even when you don't know it yet.
And you don't even say chapter one, chapter two. It's sessions. We have sessions that we're working with. And we're looking on Zoom. Is that little cat ears I'm seeing there? No, okay.
He's right here, though. Both of them are staring at me because it's almost time for them to eat. So you know what that's like.
But the sessions, there's the way that you have them structured is there's like an introductory part. And then there's a digestion section, or it's a peaceful sort of trying to become comfortable with where we are in this journey. And I've been very challenged in handling grief over the years, and it does take time, and you need to try different things and see what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and what may work for you this year might not work for you next year.
That's a very important point, Stacey. Grief brings up other ungrieved losses, or the pieces of other ungrieved losses. So as we go through life, we lose things, right? We lose parents, some people lose children, we lose jobs, we lose our health, like so many things that we lose. So that when, if you do have multiple pets over a lifetime, when a pet does go, it's on the tail of, pun intended, let's say, on the tail of other losses that you've experienced. So the flavor of grief is going to be different. So there is a kind of, there's an introduction, then there's a processing, and there's like, here's how you can process this. Like, let's not run from grief because it lurks in the shadows. It doesn't go away. It waits for you. That's why we have things like, you know, I would be shopping in a grocery store and buy the frozen peas and just burst into tears. Because if I didn't give myself space to grieve consciously, it would just kind of eke out all over the place. And so there is a way in which, that's what I do through the whole program, is give you the space to do certain exercises that allow you to, what I call it is emptying the grief pot. There's a certain amount of grief that we carry when we lose an animal. And when we allow ourselves to grieve, and even kind of inspire the grieving, we begin to empty that pot. And eventually we feel more at peace and we don't feel as sort of taken over by the pain.
Team Dubert is at it again. And now they have an amazing companion case management module that once again revolutionizes how you rescue animals. Dubert partnered with Dallas Pets Alive and the Spay Neuter Network to build a powerful solution that allows you to manage cases of any kind. Whether owner surrender calls or emails, community cat tracking and reporting, Dubert is the only system that integrates two-way text messaging, automatic follow-ups, and even a rehoming solution that every organization can use. No more trying to manage 10 different technologies when everything is all in one place and tightly integrated. From fostering to transport, fundraising to e-commerce, supply and demand to case management, Dubert has everything you need to streamline your operations so you can focus on saving more animals. Check out the new companion case management module at www.dubert.com/CCM and get signed up today. Ever wanted to quickly connect, collaborate, or problem solve with others in the animal welfare field who are, you know, real people?
Look no further than Maddie's Pet Forum. Maddie's Pet Forum brings people of animal welfare together with the common goal to keep more people and pets together. We share ideas, expertise, offer each other support, resources, and more. Visit forum.maddiespetforum.org/cats. Maddie's Pet Forum. Come for an answer. Stay for the community.
As you can imagine, I know quite a few people who have quite a few cats. And there's a very good friend of mine who actually moved into a different state with about 30 cats many years ago. And I'm the godmother for those cats. Over the years, those cats have gotten older and passed away. And many of them are the same age. So she can have like a month where three kitties will pass away in a month at this point in time at her life stage. And she's not going to get any more cats. It's just so emotional. We also have in our field of animal welfare, something called compassion fatigue. We are so busy giving and caring. And the thing that you brought up a lot in this audiobook is creating space for yourself, taking time. So where we have so many cats around us that we love and cherish and that the end of their life is coming. I mean, how can we create that space? Well, how can we help them?
That's the most important thing. So I talk about grief care, self-care. And when we lose anything that's important to us, the first order of business is what I would say extreme self-care, which is, okay, where can I begin to create some space? So if we use the example of your friend with multiple cats, you know, like I would get very resourceful. Do I have friends or family who might be able to come in and just help with the feeding of the cats or the cleaning of the litter boxes or whatever? Are there local shelters with volunteers that might be willing to do that? Like you could go to a local shelter, which have incredible resources for cat owners. Go to a local shelter, explain that you're really grieving. And is there a volunteer that might be able to help with the care of the cat so you can get some space? We also need to do things like look at our calendar and say, okay, where do I need to take a break from volunteering? Can I take a mental health day from work? I mean, I think grief has enormous physical impact on the body. It's a legitimate reason for taking time off for work. You know, where can I get support? Most importantly, I mean, most people already have so much on their plates as it is. They really need to be working at getting stuff off their plates anyway. That said, I think when you're experiencing loss, I mean, there are some people when they experience loss, they just can't function. I couldn't function. I'll be very honest with you. When I lost Poupon, it was so surprising and so unexpected that I got to a point where I was really depressed. It turned out that that loss was the loss of a lot of things that I didn't understand at the time that I had to work through. And that's part of what I'm talking about in this audiobook. But what I really needed was space. I had to cancel commitments. I had to and I basically said to people, I had a loss in my family that was devastating. And that's all I had to say. You know, I didn't have to say I lost an animal. Sometimes I did, depending on who I was speaking with. But I had a devastating loss and I'm sorry, I'm not able to do this. We need permission to just create enough space to at least have some time to do the processing that I talk about.
I would say also in my experience, in some cases, I may not feel the effects for 2 to 3 months later.
Yes.
You know, you get into this, like, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to, you know, clean up that or save that or try and cherish this. But I felt like in several situations that I didn't really start grieving until at least 3 months later.
Well, that's a good, great point too, because we all grieve differently. And some people, for example, will go into denial. They'll just go into denial. They'll overwork. They'll overeat. They'll overdrink. They'll sleep. Like, you know, that's just a part of the grief process. Let me disassociate from the pain, right? Let me just do something else to kind of occupy my mind. Other people fall right in. I fell right in and I was like deeply in the kind of emotional quagmire of loss. So that's the other thing I talk about in the audiobook is really respecting your own unique way of grieving. And you're right. 2 to 3 months later, you might find yourself suddenly like just bereft, not understanding why and what's going on. And hopefully, if you've listened to this conversation, you'll know you're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that it's now time for you to kind of face this loss. And I also just do want to say, you said something really important, and that is we all, as I said, we experience grief differently. You know, when Poupon died, I found myself doing things that made no sense. I kept searching. I think I talked about this in the audiobook. I kept searching the house looking for like nail clippings or treats or like, I think because his death came so suddenly, some part of me couldn't believe he was gone. And I was desperate to like hang on to parts of him. I left his litter box with one paw print in it. I left it there for almost, I think, maybe a month or 2 months. I didn't want it touched. I just needed to see that paw print. And my husband just wanted everything put away. For him, it was too painful to even see anything. So we kind of had to negotiate that, which you sometimes have to do with families, right? So however you're feeling needs to really be honored and needs to be respected. And we also need to make sure that we let the people around us know how important this loss is to us. And to, I mean, I don't know about you, Stacey, but like, you know, several people emailed me and said, oh, you just need to get another cat. That was not what I needed to hear. Probably the most profound memory I have right after Poupon died was sitting in my driveway coming home when my sister Lisa called me, and she had just lost her dog, I think the year before, and her dog was really important to her. And she said to me, I'm just calling to check on you because I know that this was hard. And I started to cry. And she said, Cheryl, there are no words. I'm just going to sit here with you while you cry. And I must have sobbed for 20 minutes in that courtyard without us saying a word. But her energy, I knew. She knew exactly what I was going through. And the fact that she let me cry like that was so healing for me. And so that's really what we need, is the space to have our pain. Don't try and fix it. Don't give me advice. Don't tell me it was just an animal. Please don't tell me that because I will lose it. And please don't tell me I need to just get another animal. There'll be a time for that. Just be present for my pain. That's all.
It does seem, though, you address in the audiobook a bit about how to move on, how to move forward.
Yes.
And, you know, I've made a conscious decision. People will be freak out to know, but I have no pets. I have no cats in my life at this point in time. And yes, I've made a conscious choice to have that freedom to not worry about cats when I'm traveling. You know, it bothered me when I traveled and I had cats at home and I would need, you know, the cat sitter sending pictures and that kind of thing. So I've made a conscious choice not to have pet cats in my life right now. I will have cats later in life, but nope, there's a time. So there's a space. We have a space now. And I believe you had a space, but you have decided to bring cats back into your life.
And I will tell you something, Stacey. I hear you. Like, when the freedom that we had in not having Poupon, because I was traveling a lot through his life for business, the freedom, there were times I felt guilty about that. Like, you know, after he had died, like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of enjoying the freedom. But I was aware enough to know, sweetheart, I would say to myself, sweetheart, of course you love him and you miss him, and it's okay to love the freedom. It took us almost 3 years to adopt again, partially because of the early pain, and then partially because we really wanted some freedom to travel, and we wanted to make the decision as consciously as possible. We wanted to really be wise about the cats that we chose. We went back, of course, to Merrimack Feline Rescue. That's where we got Birdie and Wednesday. And there are times where I miss the freedom, Stacey. I hear what you're saying. I'm very grateful to say that we've just found two wonderful cat sitters that can come and stay when we go away, and that makes it a lot easier. I've also had to learn how to separate myself from my animals and recognize, and I talk about this in the audiobook, they are wild beings and I'm not their mother. I'm their companion. And Poupon taught me a lot about that. And I think it's something worth looking at, you know, how attached we get to our animals in healthy ways and maybe not so healthy ways for both us and the animals. But then a time comes where you do welcome love back into your life. And it's beautiful. And I will say this, I did not expect this, but some of the people who wrote to me during the 2-3 year process who said, getting new animals will heal your heart, were right. When I got these two new cats, both Michael and I commented on, there was a piece of the grief that disappeared when they came into our lives, because animals bring so much joy to our lives that that's a big part of the grief too, is just the loss of the joy that these beings bring. And suddenly that loss was no longer there. And so there will come a time when it's right. And if you go through the grieving process consciously, you'll know when that time is.
I agree with you 100%, Cheryl. And this has been an incredible conversation. If folks are interested in getting the book, the audiobook, that is, how would they do that?
They can go to Audible, they can go to Amazon, and they can go to Sounds True. Sounds True, bless them. We're the ones that were excited to do this book, so they can download the audio or they can order the CD wherever they order books. And you can certainly, if you go to CherylRichardson.com, you can also get a link to the audiobook there as well.
I mean, in addition to this audiobook, you have a whole range of other coaching services that you have provided to the public, and that's on CherylRichardson.com.
Yeah, there are other books that I've written. I have another audio program coming out just in 2 weeks called Self-Care for the Wisdom Years for those of us that are getting a little more mature and wiser. And yes, anything that I'm not doing as much as I used to, but anything I am doing is at CherylRichardson.com for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know, I think just what I started out by saying, that you will get through it, that losing a pet is an extraordinary loss. And there are gifts to be found in facing the grief. And I hope that the program really helps people to do that in a way that feels loving and comforting and supportive.
Cheryl, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And for those of you who are listening, and it's around the holiday season, I hope everybody has had a good holiday and had been able to take some time to think about our family and our pets that maybe are not with us. So it's a very challenging time, sometimes the holidays. So my love goes out to everybody, and thank you everybody for joining us.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.